Whenever we're in trouble, it's natural to call for help, expecting a response that results in our deliverance. In the same way, our prayers for God's help results from our inability, our vulnerability, and yes, God's dependability. Pastor Elder Jerry Sirak continues with part two of our series on prayer with today's sermon called A Request for Help. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry Sirak addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
Amen. So it's in the works. The other thing is that I'm so happy to hear that it continues to be an increase in Tuesday night. Amen. And a big increase this morning in Sunday school. That is so encouraging, so encouraging. So I ask that you all continue to come out because, as I stated, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where you really can just delve off into the Word and really get the meat of the Word. Amen. 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 Right. Today I come from Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 13, and 1 Corinthians, 10th chapter, verse 13. Matthew 6 and 13, 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. So in the past few weeks, we've focused on prayer. We began by stating that prayer was necessary for the Christian. And there we also talked about many reasons why we need to pray. Amen. And we gave the most important reason being that we were commanded to. And that was found in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. We further discussed that prayer completes the conversation. Well, what do we mean by that? If prayer is us talking to God, then reading the scripture is God talking to us. Amen? And we didn't want a lopsided conversation going on or a one-sided conversation going on. Amen? Where we're doing all the talking, and God is doing all the listening. Amen? We wanted to listen as well. Amen? So in addition to that, we try to make you cognizant of the fact that prayer is a conversation between the Father and His children. It's important to keep God exalted in His proper place. You know, I'm reminded of some adults who say, I don't play with kids. I don't play with kids. Why you don't play with kids? Because they take it too far. They don't know when to stop. That's what they say. Amen. Well, what's interesting to me is that God, we are friends of God, and that is true, but sometimes we take that too far. We play too much with it to a point where we end up disrespecting God and we refer to Him as the man upstairs and the big guy in the sky and things of that nature, right? But prayer does not suggest that this is a conversation between equals. Okay? So we keep Him exalted. We keep him lifted high. Then we moved on to last week when we discussed that this conversation, within this conversation of prayer, somewhere along the line there will be a request, a humble request, amen, by the child. So we keep on asking and we keep on knocking and we keep on seeking, right? Not to get God to change his mind, because remember we said that persistence in prayer is not an attempt to change God's mind, but to get ourselves to the place where he can trust us with the answer. Amen? So you make a request that is in agreement with his will, and then the word says that he responds. How does he respond? He responds speedily, right? Responds speedily, because we said that delay does not mean inactivity on his part. Amen? So while you are still trying to figure it out, God has already, didn't he work it out, right? Amen. But here's a question for you. Just think if God responded to us like a genie in a bottle. Right? Could we be trusted with the answers if he just responded, all of a sudden he pops, we rub the bottle, and then all of a sudden God pops out of it and says, you have 3 wishes, right? And then all of a sudden, boom, poof, we get the, as soon as we wish, boom, we get it. As soon as we pray, boom, we get it. Can we be trusted with the answers? I mean, knowing us, I'm quite sure there'll be periods of time where we'll be ungrateful, right? You know, I said mashed potatoes, but I ain't say this temperature, right? You see what I'm saying? We might be ungrateful, right? We might not have the right attitude with the answer, amen? You know, this led me to thinking about 2 Proverbs that I read in the past, because, see, the thing is that the journey that you're on is your testimony. But the experience that you receive is not just for you. The journey is your testimony. But the experience that you receive is not just for you. And like I said, I thought of 2 common day or modern day proverbs. The first one says, attention, teenagers. If you are tired of being hassled by unreasonable parents, now is the time for action. Leave home now and pay your own way while you still know everything. The other one says this, the young have lots of time and few memories, while the elderly have lots of memories and little time. So who authored these adages? I don't know. But when I read them, I began to think, and I think of the and thought of the young folks that I encounter. And I work with quite a few of them. And it's interesting because although they have a small amount of experience collectively, yet they gather among themselves and they are basically advising one another with the little experience that they do have. You see what I'm saying? They become authorities among themselves, even though they have about this much experience. See, what I tell them and what I tell you today is that exposure doesn't necessarily mean experience. You hear me? Exposure doesn't necessarily mean experience. Exposure can mean abuse. Exposure can mean neglect. Exposure can equal rebellion. Told you not to do it, but you went out there anyway. Right? And there may be some young folks, and I don't want to put you all in the same category. There may be young folks that still listen and sit at the feet of older folks and absorb their knowledge and their experience. I know for me in growing up, that's what I did. Old people were like E.F. Hutton. Remember that old commercial when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen? Yeah, I was listening. When older folks talk, I listen. Because, see, when I did listen, I saw and heard how they got their lumps. And it just made sense to me to avoid what they did to get that lump. And I just kind of like said, oh, so that's what you, okay, note to self. That'll get you a lump, right? And I just saw that, and I that's how I operated. It was, I mean, to me, it was drastic when I saw an older man just in tears. And I was like, he's over there crying. What is he crying for? And then when you get a little closer, he's over there, it takes a fool to learn. And I'm like, what? Learn what? Right? And he was talking about the heartache and everything. And I said, note to self. I don't want to be that, right? But I learned along the way, and it was helpful to not get some knocks on the head, right? So, but what does that have to mean, or what does that, how does that connect with our scripture today? And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Well, in order to get into that, first we got to say what it's not. What it's not is, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, does not mean or suggest that God would ever, at any point, lead you to do wrong. So we need to get that settled. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. So let's get that straight. So when he said in that verse that God does not tempt, see, that means tempt to do something wrong. That's what the word tempt means there. But the key into really understanding what it's all about is this, the word temptation. See, in that verse in James, the first chapter, verse 13, tempt means tempt to do wrong, tempt to do evil. But temptation itself, that term itself is neutral. Are y'all following me? I don't want to lose y'all now. That's neutral. What it means is temptation in and of itself is not right or wrong. Right? And there are some synonyms, if you will, to the word temptation. Trial and test. Right? Trials and testing. So, if it's a trial or a test, it depends on who tempts. Are y'all following me? It depends on who tempts. If it's God, it is for the purpose of proving someone and never for the purpose of causing you to fall. If it is the devil who tempts, then it is for the purpose of causing you to fall. And do not lead us into temptation. It's a cry for help. We are no match for the devil. And in fact, tell the truth, we were not a match for our own natural sinful nature. Amen? So it speaks first to our inability. Inability, right? We know that we are not able to get the victory without him. But you know, it's amazing, just like in this Sunday school lesson. It's amazing. Even though we were dead in trespasses and sin, and dead means dead, right? That means that dead people can't do nothing, right? We were dead in trespasses and sin, right? We were sinning with a high hand and a low hand. Amen? We were fornicators and idolaters and adulterers and homosexuals and sodomites and thieves and covetous, right? And we were drunkards and rivalers and extortioners, right? Such were some of you. By the way, that's 1 Corinthians 6 chapter verses 9 through 10 for proof. Amen. And somehow, although we were dead, some of us have reverted back to thinking that we can. That we can. We think that if we just strive, and what I mean by strive is if we just be like more self-disciplined and control our mind and self-mastery, we can do it, right? Matter of fact, if we can just say enough, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, we can, right? But the truth is that we've duped ourselves, some have duped themselves into thinking that it's about striving rather than trusting. Right? Striving rather than trusting. And Paul says that if you think it's about you trying to be disciplined and trying to be in control and things of that nature, here's a picture of what you'll be saying to yourself. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. Right? If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. Right? For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Right? Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. That's Romans, the 7th chapter. So MacArthur is saying this when he speaks on these words and speak on this topic. He says, this is a plea. This is a plea. This part of the request, this request, and it is basically summed up as a plea for God to provide what we in ourselves do not have. What we do not have. So, you may accept the fact that you are not able, but what about the fact that you are vulnerable? Because not only are we not able, but we're also vulnerable. Amen? But wait a minute, how can we be vulnerable? I mean, am I not more than a conqueror? Right? Yeah, but finish that. Right? Through him who loves us, right? Right? So our present state leaves us vulnerable, right? We must be alert and on guard, just like this morning from that 5th chapter of Galatians in the 17th verse. It says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. In Sunday school this morning, right, it was explained to us that there is a continuing internal conflict between the two natures, if you will, right? The spirit and the flesh. The flesh is the old disposition to sin that continues even in those who have been born again, right? So although we are redeemed in these mortal bodies, These mortal bodies, they act like a last storage place, if you will, for sin. We're redeemed, but our bodies act like a last storage place for sin. Let me give you an example. See, although we are redeemed, we still have our minds. And our minds, we have those memories, right? And all those memories. Boy, boy. Old Rasputia. That girl. Ooh. Oh, I'm sorry. You see what I'm saying? You got memories still. And you got to deal with those memories still, right? And memories are powerful, right? Because you get locked into thinking so tough that your face change. And then you got to fan yourself, right? That's how much these memories are so powerful, because that sin is still within us. Like I said, these mortal bodies act like a last storage place, if you will, for sin, right? So we are not only not able, but we're also vulnerable, right? Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls, right? Boy, I am so glad for but God. But God, right? But God. God is dependable. If we are not able and if we are vulnerable, he is dependable. We serve a dependable, faithful, certain, worthy to be believed, promise keeper, and a way maker. Amen. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. And it's interesting when you study this verse, because what it says is that if the temptation is here, then God gives you the ability to go here. If the temptation is here, then God gives you the ability to go here. You understand what I'm saying? You are more than a conqueror, because God gives you the ability to whatever you're going through, to be the conqueror over that. Amen. And here is what Spurgeon says. Spurgeon says this, and these are a couple of quotes that hit me hard. He says, "He is blessed who has tried his faith, who has gone to God with a promise and received an answer to prayer." He goes on to say that untried faith is questionable. Is it really faith at all? Right? If your religion has never been tested, you can hardly be described as blessed. You hear that? So what's the connection here? Well, remember earlier when I said to you, just think if God responded like a genie in a bottle, could we be trusted with the answer? And I also told you all the journey is part of your testimony, but the experience is not only for you, right? See, God must trust you with the answer. He's got to trust you with the answer to that prayer. Why must he trust you with that answer to prayer? Because he wants to use you and that answer to bless somebody else. He wants to use you and that answer to bless someone else. You get what I'm saying? It's not just for you. It's not just for you. So here's the thing. Temptation or testing or trials in God's hand is for growth. So the plea is not to ask to avoid temptation. If you notice that, he didn't say, Lord, don't let me go through no temptation. No. The thing is this. Trials and tests can help you grow. Right? It can help you grow. I'm reminded of that Hefty Cinch Sack commercial. Y'all remember that? I don't know if you remember. But anyway, somebody, they tried to put their fist through it. They said, test it. And they tried to put their fist through that bag. And all of a sudden, what happens is that the bag just keeps stretching and stretching and stretching to prove that it can handle the load. Amen. So that testing that you're going through, it's proven that you can handle the load. Because when you go to someone else, and you go to someone else proven that you can do this, that this can be done, it's an encouragement to them. But if you step to somebody else and your credentials are about this small, can they listen to you? Can they listen to you? God, he's got to trust you with the answer, saints. He's got to trust you with the answer because he wants to use you and that answer to help somebody else. Amen? So what is the takeaway, if you will? Well, the takeaway is this. And I want you to understand this. That Christians, they conclude that they are not able. Okay? Christians also conclude that they are vulnerable. So we have come and we've reached the conclusion that we are not able and we are not vulnerable. But God is dependable. God is dependable. Amen? So we pray to a dependable, able, and faithful and certain God for help, and lead us not into temptation. And lead us not into temptation. And that, in a nutshell, is the request. There were six requests in that, what they call the Lord's Prayer, but most scholars call it the disciples' prayer. Amen. And that last request, leading us not into temptation, is a cry for help. We know we are putty. If it came between us and the devil, it ain't no match. It ain't no match. And we know we need his help. Amen? So, understand, Christian, that on your own, you're not able. Understand, Christian, that you're vulnerable, not only to the enemy on the outside, but even that enemy on the inside. Amen. But you serve a faithful and able God.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at NLCC Pontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.